Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jaren Duran is a stand-up guy in front of his locker. Had he been a stand-up guy in left field, he might have caught the ball. Oh, not in this economy. Red Sox lose 4-3, Yankee Stadium. Not the only mistake of the night, but certainly one of the bigger ones, as was Nate Eaton's inability to score from second on an infield hit from my guy, Yoshida. Kyle Hudson also involved there because, yes, the ball is behind Nate Eaton. But I think if you leave with every intention of scoring, Fitzy, it's hard to stop you there. And you maybe you're even a little quicker to third. There's less reason. Although, I don't really have a good reason that Kyle Hudson got in the way there and stopped Nate Eaton. Like, I don't really have any idea what he's doing. You know,
just
I know
yell go. Just yell go when he's the
yes.
second Jazz Chisholm.
Wave him
Jazz
in Wendell
Chisholm.
Kim.
Yeah, God, I can't believe that I was literally opining for the days of Send Him In Kim last night. But you have to. The second Jazz Chisholm, with runs at a premium, do not play, oh, never run into the third out, bro. Or like, hey, you got to give Trevor Story a chance to almost hit a grand slam to dead center. Get to that in a sec. No, you have a chance with your fastest player to make a play and dare somebody behind second base to have to throw a 123-foot dart to get out a guy that can go from just down the third base line to home in a little over 3 seconds. You have to throttle down there. And then also, by the way, what is the name of the reliever? Rodriguez, the guy.
Cruz.
What's that?
The guy, Fernando yes. Cruz, who everybody wants to hate now.
No. When you give up, when Trevor Story then comes up and almost hits a grand slam off you to dead center, doing a haka on the sidelines there or just past the first base line, I get it. You want to pump the crowd up. It's an emotional moment. You're an emotional guy, but maybe dial it down a notch.
Yeah, I saw Rich Keefe wanted to punch him in the face, and there were a lot of people that hate on him. I don't know. I kind of like emotion out of my relievers. Better than the puddle of goo that Whitlock was when he left the mound. Boy, did he look like a beaten and defeated man when he was out there struggling.
That sucked. I mean, first of all, who was it? Chisholm got the first hit, and then it's, was it Phelps or whatever his name, who got the Austin Nelson,
Wells.
Austin Wilson. Well, yeah.
How
Austin
many
Wells,
names
whatever.
You going to throw out in one segment?
As many as I feel like to get there.
Get some right.
Whatever. Who cares? All right. The guy with the mustache that hit it down the first base line. First of all, it should have been strike three on Chisholm. That should have been four strikes in that at bat, not just three strikes. He got pinched. That sucks. He definitely looked like a beaten man. Threw almost 50 pitches last night.
Oh, he was a beaten man. 617-779-7937. Real quick before we get back to your phone calls. Good news out of the Twitter poll. At Jumbo Hart, at WEEI Afternoons. Red Sox fans seemingly remaining optimistic. I had a simple question. Who wins Wild Card Game 3 tonight in New York? 68% of Red Sox fans say it'll be the Red Sox, Dan Ball.
Seems like an objective crew, you know?
I mean, I'm sure I have some Yankees fans on my timeline.
You think so?
Red Sox haters. I mean, there's 32% voting for the Yankees right now. I don't know if those are negative Red Sox people or maybe some. Or you could also convert Schlittler. Schlittler's whole family was a Red Sox family till he went over there. They all converted, which I see.
He's a Walpole guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he calls himself a Boston guy. But yes, he's a Walpole guy. And I see people giving him a hard time for that. Like, I'd be rooting for my son and his team, too. If my son was the starting pitcher in game 3 with the season on the line for the New York Yankees, I would be saying, go Yankees, go. I'd have pinstripes on. Hell yeah. Sorry, blood over Jersey. Blood over where I grew up.
But also, this family, in a lot of ways, think about it, like they've kind of got a best case scenario, unless, of course, Cam Schlittler does what we're all hoping for, which is gives up 9 runs in the first inning. If he goes out there, pitches well, and he gets to leave the mound like with his head held high, like, hey, man, I stood up to my childhood team in a playoff situation in my first postseason start. But then the Sox win. It's like, hey, our boy is covered in glory. And also the Sox advanced.
Yeah. So if he has like a Weissert, if Schlittler leaves in the seventh inning with like 2 guys on and a 1-run lead.
If he gets Weisserted, yes.
Then his family can actually cheer and be happy on both sides.
Oh, my God.
Are
you kidding me?
Perfect.
Oh, they're going straight to the steakhouse afterwards.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Jordan. I was going to say Jordan because I had Jordan on the mind because it's in the Cape. But Jordan in the Cape. What's up?
Yeah, so you got Schlittler and you got Early pitching tonight.
Yep.
And Early has not pitched in any games for the Red Sox or any other team. You got Schlittler, who's I believe 1-1. I think.
Thanks for the call, Jordan. What the hell was he talking about?
What the hell was that?
I think he hit the schnapps a little early for the Schlittler start.
He may have hit the Schitzler a little bit early there.
Okay, he needs to be careful over there. Quinn Early has pitched. Connolly Early. Damn it!
My God,
see,
were you drinking with him?
The NFL trap, too. It's going to happen more than 5 times today, so steer into it.
Connolly Early has pitched for less than 30 days. He's trying to be the first person ever to take the mound in a season-deciding game less than 30 days after his Major League debut. And Schlittler has been a rookie pitcher for the Yankees all year. So, yes, it's a youthful matchup. It's one of the questions I want to get to with Lou Maloney when we talk to him at 4:30. Everywhere you look, there's not enough pitchers to go around. It's reminding me of offensive lines in the NFL. Like, all these teams are like, I don't have any offensive linemen. Do you have any offense? Nobody has tackles. Nobody has a good offensive line. Nobody has a pitching staff that can make it through a 3-game series. We're not
what
even.
What happened?
I don't know. I don't know if
what
it's the
we used to have all these guys. I got 6 aces. I got 4 stars. Like, who am I going to start in game 3? Bayo couldn't even make it through 2-3 innings last night. Giolito's not pitching the rest of the year. Now you're calling up a 23-year-old with 19 2/3 professional innings under his very tight belt. It's nuts. It's also, Andy, spectacular theater. I mean, this is as dramatic, as tense, as wound up. And all, my God, all of this is taking place on October 2nd, the 47th anniversary of Bucky Dent Day. Like, how much greater can this get? How much higher can the stakes get for a wild card round?
And we also have the stakes of the WEEI Afternoon's question being answered that we threw out there, what was it, about a month ago, Dan Ball? When we
how many
said,
wins in October?
It might be 0 for the Red Sox if they don't take care of business tonight.
No. That was the technicality that we discussed at the time. The first game was September 30th. Did they win game 1 and lose the next 2?
And the way we feel about the Patriots, whoa, people are penciling in 3. I mean, hell, they're getting hopes that you could sweep the month of October, and the Red Sox could limp into the offseason with 0.0 wins in the month of October. 617-7.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
797937. We heard from Jaren Duran coming back from break. He took accountability. He put the loss on himself, as he should, but he wasn't the only one. There was plenty to go around. Let's go to Dan in the car. What's up, Dan?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I was calling in because I had a thought of if we're trying to put the best lineup out there for the Sox to win last night, shouldn't Carr Wong have been behind the catching, since he's Bayo's starting catcher and he had his best success with him during the year?
Thanks for the call, Dan. I don't know. You asked an interesting question. Best lineup? the way you phrased it, Dan, was lineup. If you're putting your best lineup out there, then Narvaez is in your best lineup. If you're putting your best team out there and weighting it a little more towards the battery and the comfort of the starting pitcher, then you can make an argument for Connor Wong. I actually asked manager Alex Cora this very question here yesterday.
With Bayo on the mound and obviously a very strong history, not only this season but against the Yankees, any concern there with how the alteration of the catcher, the battery there, do you fear that that disrupts anything with him?
No, I lived this in 18 with Sandy Leon and Rick Porcello coming to New York, and we decided to catch Christian Vasquez. So I just feel like, you know, we need Narvi's bat in the lineup. He's one of the best defenders in the big league, so he'll be okay.
I kind of brushed over that answer at the time. Oh, yeah, you've experienced this. You've been through that. Like, what the hell does one have to do with the other? What?
Not much.
What does Rick Porcello's mindset, comfort have to do with Bayo? Bayo is the person that matters here, right? This has nothing to, like, those two aren't the same. And Bayo is a guy, relatively young still, who's had relative issues, I guess, with maturity. I hear Will Middlebrooks talk about how much he feels like he's matured as this season's gone along, which is obviously an implication that you needed to mature. Some of your success is coming from maturing. So what you did 2 years ago, 5 years ago, not to go all Belichickian, but, you know, what happened last week, last month, last year, is not germane to this situation. All that matters is, do you think that Brian Bayo can handle it if you jerk around the way he goes about his business? And that's what you did. Whether you want to like it or not, whether you believe it had any factor into him pitching, Dan Ball, 28 pitches? Was that the number?
That was the number.
28 pitches.
And that's, looking into that, that's not a lot for a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball.
Did you look that up?
Yeah.
Did you look that up? How did you Google that?
Are you out of your mind?
GPT that? ChatGPT, is 28 pitches a lot for a starting pitcher? It's no, it is not, Ted.
Average pitches for starting pitcher. Oh, my God, that's not a lot.
So, that's not even really like an opener. Some openers go longer over like an inning and two-thirds, but he's a legitimate starter, opener.
Yeah, he's a legit starter who, Fitzy, the number we kept throwing around yesterday, two starts at Yankee Stadium against the Yankees. I believe it was 14 innings and zero runs allowed. I believe he threw more than 28 pitches in each of those games to get through seven innings. And now?
We predicted also, Andy, that he was going to make it through the order twice.
The flip side of that is, now I'm starting to just wonder, and again, speaking of basing things on nothing that has really any direct connection to them, Lucas Giolito struggled down the stretch. Lucas Giolito, we found out, was dealing with an elbow issue. Lucas Giolito can't pitch anymore. Brian Bayo struggled down the stretch. Any chance he's dealing with something and we just don't know it? And that could also play into the quick hook, some arm fatigue, some elbow fatigue, something going on physically that's limiting his ability?
Yes, and that sounds like a Friday problem because he will not be on the mound tonight, so I'll worry about that tomorrow if we actually have a tomorrow. That's why you called up the Woo Sox. That's why you have Toley and Harrison and Early. Like, the kids are going to, you know what? Andy, we should live in a world where we're worrying tomorrow and Saturday about, like, which Woo Sox call-up is going to start against the Blue Jays on Saturday or Sunday.
I hope we are worrying about that. I hope we are dealing with that. I hope we are wondering, after Crochet, who the hell are you going to pitch against the Blue Jays? But first things first, we are breaking down last night's painful, ugly, unfortunate loss in New York, 4-3. Yankees take the win, forcing Game 3 today. It is your guy, Connelly Early, the young gun on the mound against their guy, Schlittler, in a winner goes on, loser goes home, and loser's city spends the next, I don't know, 5 days at the very least bitching about why they lost and what big changes need to come in the offseason. We'll continue to talk about it. Take your phone calls, 617-779-7937. That's all next on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.